Hey guys, here at Sports Spectrum, we know that athletes and coaches face unique spiritual challenges every single day. Coaches often need to offer guidance to athletes who face difficulties of all kinds. And of course, likewise, athletes need to help their own teammates who ask questions about their spirituality and faith and love those who even mock them for following Christ. There are countless situations that require trustworthy resources to ensure that coaches and athletes are equipped for these type of challenges. And that's why the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Christian Standard Bible have partnered to make the brand new CSB E3 Discipleship Bible to assist athletes and coaches in the pursuit of righteousness as they disciple their team. This new Bible exists to engage, equip, and empower coaches, athletes, and mentors, and it has nearly 300 articles and features, as well as easily shared videos via QR codes. The CSB E3 Discipleship Bible allows us to engage with Scripture and enter meaningful relationships with our teams. It equips us to grow in Christ and share the gospel with our teams, and it empowers us to do the same for teams, making disciples of those closest to us. To learn more, visit e3discipleshipbible.com. That's e3discipleshipbible.com. Go get this new CSB E3 Discipleship Bible. It's fantastic and is available wherever books are sold.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
And hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is Sports Spectrum and another episode of the Sports Spectrum Podcast. We do love you guys and so glad that you're tuning in to our program today, the intersection of sports and faith. You can find us on our website, sportsspectrum.com, each and every day, updated articles, devotionals, and podcasts. It's all free. Wonderful content. We have a team that works really hard to update that site every single day. The only type of stories that you will find on the intersection of sports and faith every single day at sportsspectrum.com. And then if you want to reach us directly, you can email me. My email address is jason@sportsspectrum.com. jason@sportsspectrum.com. Maybe you have a guest idea, a show topic, some feedback. A lot of the guests that we have here on Sports Spectrum come from an email that so many of our listeners, so many wonderful listeners like yourself, send to us. So feel free to email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Now today on the show, we welcome Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. He is an analyst with PFF. Steve has a really fascinating story. He was on this podcast 2 years ago. And we put in the show notes, so you can click that as you're finished with this podcast, that episode from a couple years ago, as Steve told his wonderful testimonial and shared his journey to Jesus. Now, Steve, interestingly enough, even though he works in pro football right now, is a former minor league baseball player, professional baseball player. He pitched as high as AAA, so he almost reached the major leagues and pitched for 8 years, from 2004 to 2011, before deciding that baseball wasn't in the cards, and then he transitioned to the world of football. And he joined Pro Football Focus in 2011. He covers the NFL, the NFL draft, college football. He's the co-host of a very popular podcast, the PFF NFL podcast and PFF NFL Daily. And you can find all of that at pff.com. But Steve's involved in, I think, really more important work than anything he'll ever do with football or the NFL. And that is with a ministry called Hope Over America. And that's a ministry helping people with addiction get treatment and seeing the gospel transform these people's lives away from addiction, away from heroin and drugs, and into a more purposeful life found only in Christ. I mean, that's the only step that this ministry talks about. The first step, the only step, coming to a faith in Jesus Christ, and then coming alongside and discipling and watching people's lives transformed. And that's what Steve's doing with this Hope Over America ministry. And now they have this amazing documentary called Hope Is Here, where they're telling the stories of these people who've gone through the program and seeing how Jesus has impacted their lives in such a profound way. It's going to encourage you. It's an amazing documentary. We'll talk about it during this podcast, and we'll have a link that you can watch it for free when we are finished. But you're going to love this conversation. We talk football in the beginning, Colin, rapid-fire NFL questions that I have for Steve, and then we get into the more important work. He's Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus, and he joins us right now on Sports Spectrum. Steve Palazzolo, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back, Jason.
Absolutely. It's good to see you. It's wonderful to talk to you because that means we're getting close to the NFL season, which for you, it never stops. For me, it kind of never stops as well. But when we actually have games and a season to be in the midst of, that's the most exciting time. So we appreciate you. Your work with Pro Football Focus is phenomenal, and it's wonderful that we get to talk a little bit of football, and then we'll get to some of the serious stuff, if you will, and some really neat and important things that you're doing outside of the realm of football. But I'm curious, for you, let's start here. Off season, how much time are you spending sort of watching film, studying, you know, the moves that the teams have made? What does that look like for you leading into where we are now, preseason and getting ready for the NFL season?
Yeah, a lot of it's just top of mind for, you know, because we went through the draft process, we went through the free agency process, and it's just kind of like a refresher. What did teams do? Make sure we remember sometimes after a little summer break. Here's all the moves they made, free agency trades, drafts, and all that stuff. For me personally, my job is helping to build products for NFL teams. So I'm always kind of in it and behind the scenes trying to build stuff for them. But as far as like when I'm on the podcast and all that, the summer is review time, and then preseason, it's just, you know, again, reminding myself of all the moves teams made, where there were shifts and, you know, power balances and all that stuff, and just getting ready to go for the real football.
Yeah, we're going to talk about sort of those reminders, because I might need a couple as well as we get ready for the NFL season in a week or two. But I want to ask you about this off season in general, more of a general question than specific question. But there was a time there that was happening in March where it might have been the craziest couple days, weeks, maybe, that we've ever seen in an NFL offseason. And I know it feels like that every year. This is the craziest offseason. But this was one of the craziest offseasons, especially in that early part right after the Super Bowl, that maybe we've ever seen, right?
Well, it was, because I think you're seeing a league that is so pass game dependent. And, you know, after years of hearing people say, you got to run the ball and you got to stop the run and all that stuff, I think we're realizing it's a passing game. And you start to see teams that don't have quarterbacks go make moves for quarterbacks. That's why you see Russell Wilson getting traded, and for all the mess that it's been, Deshaun Watson getting traded. So quarterbacks are out there. Then you have other teams that might not have the quarterbacks, and they're saying, how else can we create great offense? Well, we want a high-end elite receiver. So now you have receivers getting paid quarterback-type money, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, A.J. Brown. So you start to see all these receivers start to move too. And I think that's what made this offseason so crazy, is teams were just maneuvering and positioning to make their pass games great.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite things to do. And I remember working, I think I was at ESPN in maybe 2014 or 15, something like that. And I remember sitting next to Adam Schefter, in the ESPN green room on the day of free agency. And we were anticipating and waiting. It was when Sam Bradford and Nick Foles were traded for each other.
Like right at 4 o'clock or whatever it was.
At 4 o'clock, yeah. And the Rams and the Eagles had made this trade, and it was like, all right, here we go, let's go. And it was all these signings, and it was just fascinating to watch Adam on the phone and just churning out stories and breaking news, but just what that time was like. And that felt like that back in March, and just me on Twitter more than really anything, not really watching all the shows on TV, but just keeping track. I think I put alerts on Adam and on, you know, NFL Network and everybody that could provide me with updates, and just follow along on social media. I'm sure that's what you were like too.
I think it's as exciting as the season sometimes, because teams, every team has hope again, you know, 30, you know, you just, what is my team going to do to make a move? So I think people love March and April as much as they love the season.
They do. I think so. And especially with the NFL season, this is a great time of year too. So let me rapid fire you a few questions NFL wise, and then we'll get, like I said, into the important stuff. All right. So which team, first question, that missed the playoffs last year is the team that you have your eye on in 2022 to make a leap?
So this might be cheating a little bit, but the Baltimore Ravens didn't make the playoffs last year. Lamar Jackson got hurt. But look, it's a loaded AFC, but I think the Ravens are going to make a move. And I think the Colts, another team that should have made the playoffs, they lost to the Jaguars in week 18 on that crazy weekend to allow for that Chargers-Raiders game that happened on Sunday Night Football, if everybody remembers that. But the Colts, they have Matt Ryan. They still have a pretty good, solid roster. I think both of those teams, Colts and Ravens, should be very much back in the playoff picture.
So I'm going to follow up real quick. I feel like the Eagles are one of those teams too. How do you feel about that?
The Eagles, I think, made a lot of good moves this offseason. So they were one of the teams back in March that was like very quiet, right? All the crazy moves are happening. The Eagles are just going forward. But they made shrewd moves after the fact. I think A.J. Brown in the draft, James Bradbury, the corner that they signed, again, after free agency, and they got him on the cheap. I think the Eagles have a really strong foundation, and they're up there with the Cowboys now in the NFC East.
I agree. The Rams, they won last year's Super Bowl. They retooled, they rebuilt, they re-signed guys. I don't know how they're signing everybody, but they clearly have some money somewhere stacked that they're able to, you know, give Cooper Kupp his money and bring other guys in. Are they the number one team ranked right now coming into the season for you?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's easy to just say, hey, the team that won the Super Bowl, they're number one. But I would look at the Bills, I would say, as the team that I think you're 13 seconds away from seeing them in the AFC Championship last year in Buffalo with the wind and the cold. And not saying the Bengals wouldn't be able to go into Buffalo to beat them. The Bengals went and beat Kansas City in Kansas City. But yeah, the Bills were very close, I think, to being the AFC representative last year. I like what the Bills have done. So I'll say the Bills are the top team, but the Rams, even losing Von Miller and, you know, some of their moves that they've made, the Rams will very much be in there. The Bucs still have to be up there, and the Chiefs will still be up there. But I'll say the Bills are the top team and the team to beat right now.
Can you imagine if that city ever won a Super Bowl?
Oh, they would go crazy. It would be.
If you thought it was nuts when Philadelphia won one,
yeah,
just imagine Buffalo finally winning their first Super Bowl. And they're not they that far away. Yeah, they have every single piece they need. You mentioned Von Miller. He's on the Bills now too, which is just nuts when you think about how they retooled. All right, who's the best player in the league that nobody is talking about?
So this is fun because, you know, for us at PFF, we grade every player on every play. So a lot of times we can highlight offensive linemen that are doing great work that maybe don't get a lot of love or whatever it is. I'll go one offense, one defense. Devondre Campbell, the linebacker for the Green Bay Packers last year, was a guy that just completely broke out, like kind of transformed that Green Bay Packers defense. They haven't had a good linebacker in a long time. And Campbell was just flying around, making plays. So he was fantastic last year. They just paid him a whole bunch of money. And then offensively, a guy that I've one of the more fascinating stories in the NFL is Jordan Mailata, the starting left tackle for the Eagles, who you mentioned. They just drafted him the seventh round out of Australian rugby a couple of years ago. And it was just this project. And you see this happen every now and again. You draft a project and nothing pans out. But this dude has become one of the best tackles in the league. He's only been playing football for a few years. So Jordan Mailata for the Eagles, they paid him too. But like, what an absolute steal to just grab a seventh rounder and find a starting tackle, a guy who moves and just crushes people in the run game. So I got to highlight Mailata as much as possible, because I was fascinated when they drafted him, and he looked like a pretty good football player almost right away in preseason, and he's developed into a really good starter.
That's a great story. Of course, you can find Steve's work at PFF.com with Pro Football Focus. A couple more. Which team do you think will take a step back from the success maybe that they had in 2021 and regress a little bit?
This is a tough one, because I think, like, numbers wise, you would look at the Raiders and say, you know what, the Raiders made the playoffs and probably shouldn't have, right? They snuck through a whole bunch of games. Now they just added Devontae Adams, and they just added Chandler Jones, and they bring in Josh McDaniels, and they have all this turnover. And at the same time, I think the Raiders got a little lucky last year. The offensive line still a major question mark, and you've got a loaded AFC West. You have to get through the Chiefs, the Chargers, and now Russell Wilson-led Broncos team. So I'll say the Raiders fans, they always get mad at us. They think we hate, all the fan bases think we hate them. You know how that is,
Jason. Of course they do. I'll give you my team only because
Raiders, really.
Raiders for you. I'm going to say the Bengals, and that's really hard to say that because of what they did last year, but I just have a hard time seeing them. The only way that they can't regress is winning the Super Bowl. And I think with all of those other teams that you just described, I think the Bengals, and especially hopefully a healthy Baltimore Ravens team, you know, that AFC North is always tough. We'll know quickly here what's going on with the Browns, and certainly, you know, the Steelers always have a tough team to battle with. I have a hard time thinking the Bengals, although they have a lot of good talent, obviously, that they'll be able to do what they did last year. Is that regressing if they won the division and lost in the first round or second round? I guess, but, you know, Cincinnati's had a lot of, you know, struggles over those years anyways, but that's the team that I see on a regression. Yeah,
that's one of the stories of the season, I think, though, is there's so many good teams in the AFC. There's going to be good teams with not so good records, or, you know, with 500 records. And at the end of the season, they're going to say, hey, what did we do wrong? It's like, you just had a tough road, you know, probably had some bad bounces. So
yeah,
Bengals make sense through that lens as well.
All right. Last question. Is this finally the year that we see, speaking of regressing, a 45-year-old quarterback starting in the NFL regress named Tom Brady? Well, is this year we finally see that, Steve?
I will never call for Tom Brady to regress. I know better. That will never happen.
I don't want him to regress. I'm just saying at some point, 45-year-old quarterbacks, I don't know.
I really bought into his retirement. I really thought for that 40 days that he was going to be gone. But probably one last run. I think he'll still be fine. He's got a good supporting cast. They still have a good offensive line. Add Russell Gage, so they have that third wide receiver that really hurt them in the playoffs, not having that depth at receiver. I think Brady's still going to have it. He's still throwing the ball well. When you look, like when Peyton actually regressed physically and Drew Brees regressed physically, you started to see signs of it in their last couple seasons. You don't see that with Tom Brady. Like, he is still has a good velocity, still gets the ball down the field very well. So there's no physical regression with TB12 so far.
It's funny with him, just to piggyback real quick, I think many will put him in the category of greatest NFL player of all time. Obviously, you can argue Jim Brown, you can argue Lawrence Taylor and some other greats, Jerry Rice. But most people are starting to bring him and elevate him into that number one spot. But I think he's doing the greatest. It's the greatest achievement of an NFL player, maybe a professional athlete that we've ever seen, because of the longevity, but also because of the dominance within that longevity.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah. And then when you connect it to winning, right? So there was a point in the, you know, in Brady's career where he had the wins, but not the stats, right? It was kind of like Jeter back in the day, but Brady has the stats too. And I really think going out and winning a championship, like not just having a good Bucs team, but the fact that they won a Super Bowl and he went out away from Bill Belichick, right? Because you would always have those debates. Well, is it Belichick? Is it Brady? And not that he put that to bed, but he went out and won a championship. You know, no matter what happens in his final season, likely final season here, we'll see.
Do we even know, really, Steve?
We don't know. I mean, he once said he wanted to play till 50. Who knows? But I think that really helped seal the deal. Winning a championship with the Bucs first season, and just showed it's a team game, but one player being able to elevate a team like that has been incredible.
Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is brought to you by the new CSB E3 Discipleship Bible, a partnership between the Christian Standard Bible and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'm telling you, you're going to love this Bible. The CSB E3 Discipleship Bible is designed to assist the unique relationships between athletes, coaches, and mentors. With almost 300 articles and features, including verses for the Christian competitor, character spotlights, warm-ups, workouts, and wrap-ups, even notes on the E3 Discipleship Method, the CSB E3 Discipleship Bible engages, equips, and empowers readers to grow in their faith and share the gospel day in and day out. To learn more, visit e3discipleshipbible.com. Right now you can go there, e3discipleshipbible.com. The CSB E3 Discipleship Bible is available everywhere books are sold. You will not regret picking up this Bible today. Steve Palazzolo is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. He's from Pro Football Focus, but he's also doing some really important work. And that's where I'd like to do a reset here with and talk about some pretty important things. Obviously, you love the Lord and you've been on this podcast and shared your journey of faith here a few years ago. And we'll link to that in the show notes if people want to go back and hear Steve's story, former minor league baseball player, professional baseball player. So you got a really awesome journey that you shared with us a couple years ago on the podcast. But I remember in that conversation, we barely touched on, in that episode, your work with Hope Over America. And I'd love for you kind of to share a little bit again about your involvement and how you got connected with Hope Over America. Actually, it used to be Hope Over Heroin, and just kind of talk through what that ministry is, because you got a really cool project that I want to get into as well with them.
Yeah, just to give the general background, my wife and I moved to Cincinnati because of PFF. Chris Collinsworth, the PFF owner, lives right in Northern Kentucky. It's right over the river. So he moved us all to Cincinnati back in 2016. My wife and I ended up finding a church called City on a Hill. And we were really drawn to the church because of the outreach that they have, right? So there's a couple different names here, but they have an outreach called Heritage House. Where we bring men in, it's a faith-based recovery program. We bring them in and help them find the Lord, most importantly, but they get off drugs along the way, which I think helps separate that as a program. We're not necessarily preaching against drugs. We're just preaching Jesus to them. And in turn, they recover. But Heritage House, which is the actual program where we bring guys in and they stay with us and they come to church with us and all that stuff, that started from what we called Hope Over Heroin back in 2014. My pastor and a few other pastors in the Cincinnati area, they had just a huge, the drug epidemic is just massive in Ohio. There was a weekend in a city called Hamilton in Ohio where there was like 20 overdoses or something. It was 18 or 20. And all these pastors were like, we got to do something about this. So they started this huge outreach called Hope Over Heroin. And the first one was in Hamilton, Ohio. And basically, my pastor owns a massive concert level stage that the Lord blessed him with years ago. He knew that he needed it for something. Turns out it was for these Hope Over Heroin outreaches. The first ever Hope Over Heroin outreach was in 2014 in Hamilton, Ohio. And we just went there. I mean, I wasn't a part of it at the time. But they just went there and just preached the gospel in the middle of the ghetto, basically, right? Where people could, you know, stumble in for the most part. Hope Over Heroin just grew, and it became this thing that they did year after year across cities in Ohio and Kentucky. We've been as far west as the Dakotas, as far east as North Carolina. We're hoping to go up to New England and various places. So Hope Over Heroin was the outreach. We would preach the gospel to people, and then they needed a place to stay. And that's kind of where Heritage House was birthed, right? So you'd meet people that needed Jesus. They were trying to get off drugs. And so they created a faith-based program called Heritage House, where we could bring in right now 50 to 75 men at any given time, 50 to 75 beds, where we can help people in their recovery process, introduce them to the Lord or reintroduce them to the Lord. There's all sorts of different stories. And that's where it's all been connected. And then the Hope Over America aspect of it is just what we're trying to do going forward. Kind of, I don't want to say rebranding, but kind of renaming all of that Hope Over America, because it's not just heroin, right? I mean, there's fentanyl, there's all the offshoots of drugs, but people need hope over absolutely everything, right? Because again, we don't go up and preach about don't do drugs. We just preach, hey, y'all need Jesus. You're sinners just like we are. And we all need a savior. And so we're talking Hope Over America as this more expanded outreach that hopefully we can get to all the parts of America, particularly the ones that really need it and the ones that have some addiction problems.
You guys got a documentary that we're going to talk about in a second, which is a really great thing that you're doing. But why did this tug at your heart? Why was this something that you just felt like God was saying, hey, I gotta jump in and help with this? What was it about it that tugged at your heart?
It's really amazing because I went through a period in my faith journey and in church where I just wanted to show up to church and do my thing and leave, right? And I think a lot of Christians do that, right? Like, let me go put my time in on a Sunday and let me get back. I get to get back to football, right? I get to get back to what I'm doing on a Sunday afternoon or whatever it is. But the first time I saw these guys, they were sitting in the corner of this church, of the church, City on a Hill. And I'm like, this is amazing. they'd rush the altar just to worship God. And you could tell there was something there. And then and it was just something, first off, I wanted to be a part of it from that, through that lens. Like I felt the urge, like I need to do something. I can't just be sitting here and just having this, falling into religion really, which is just show up to church and go home. But then you realize how much addiction has affected people, and it's affected I assume every listener right now has had some sort of connection to addiction. And I look back at my life, some of the guys that we highlight in the documentary have just crazy stories. We could talk about them in a second. Crazy stories. My story is not crazy, but it's like, I grew up in a suburban cul-de-sac in New England, 14 houses. But I look back and I'm like, out of the 14 houses, I had like 10 friends there, and we'd play games. It was great. Quintessential, beautiful America. But there were three people that fell into addiction just in my neighborhood. One ended up overdosing and dying at one point. I had a high school teammate overdose, high school basketball teammate. I had a college baseball teammate overdose and die. I've had professional baseball teammates overdose and die. So I didn't grow up in this drug culture like some of my new friends did, the guys who came through Heritage House. Some of them have been doing drugs since they were 10, 11 years old. I don't have that story, but we've all been connected to this, high school classmates and teammates or whatever it might have been. So it's affected all of us. And you just see. And then I was drawn to the effectiveness of it, to the fruit of the program, that we were bringing people in. And it wasn't just come in for 12 months, here's your certificate, and then push people out. Like, we brought people in. The Lord changed their lives, radically changed their lives. And now they're a part of our church, or they're a part of our ministry, or they're giving back. Or, you know, my friend Cody was, you know, he came out of the first Heritage, the first Hope Over Heroin event. And now he's a preacher. You know, like just 6 years ago, the guy was, you know, shooting needles into his veins. And now he is a preacher of the gospel, has affected thousands of men. He leads the house, literally affected thousands of men. I think it's going to be millions at some point, right? So seeing that effectiveness is what really tugged at me again. And again, just the urge to just, as Christians, we can't just do our time, right? You can't just go and do your thing every Sunday. We're all called to be ministers in some way. So I just wanted to be a part of what was happening.
I hear the words, or think about the words, of being the hands and feet of Jesus. That's a, I don't know if that's a Christian term that we hear a lot, but certainly I hear it a lot in my church circles. But that has to be truly what this is when you're looking at the work that some of these people are doing, including yourself, being the hands and feet of Jesus, right?
Yeah, and here's the thing too, like, it's what we try to focus on is discipleship. You know, it is a discipleship program. So when we bring these men in, and it's just a men's program right now. We'd love to have a women's program at some point, you know, if that's where things go. But it's really the discipleship of it. You know, we bring these guys in, and they're in church 4 out of 7 nights a week. We give them jobs. The jobs help pay for these things. But it's really, again, it's a discipleship, and it's a, you know, it's a gospel driven program, right? It's preaching the gospel. It's, you know, and guys think that they're coming to just get clean, right? And a lot of them have been to other programs. That's one of the more common stories. This is program 12. This is program 15. There's one guy who's in program 40. It's ridiculous. They've been to all these other programs. But because we're not just, you know, nothing against 12 steps or anything like that, we really say it's not 12 steps. It's really one. Take one step to the cross, you know, admit that you're a sinner, and all the addiction is just sin that you need clean from your life, right? I mean, so it is being the hands and feet of Jesus and just preaching what Jesus preached and discipling and helping guys through. And then it's amazing seeing the snowball effect, because like, if you come to like a worship service at our church, the drummer, two guys playing guitar, I mean, they all came through the program, right? Wow. So now we have guys who are part of everything that we do, either helping out with the program, serving, being a part of the outreaches, preaching, whatever it might be. And so you really start to see that effect because they've been discipled and not just given a certificate and said, hey, you're clean, you know, go back out. It's really, you know, life-changing events for these guys.
Yeah, it's coming alongside them. And I watched the documentary, and I got to ask you about it. It's called, the documentary is called Hope Is Here. It's part of the Hope of America you know, ministry, and it's fantastic. What I saw was a screener version of it. By the time people listen to this, it's going to be available on YouTube, and we'll link to it. It's free. People can just watch it, right? There's no fees or anything that you have to pay to watch this, but it's really, really well done. And I thought it painted a beautiful picture of not just how the gospel can change lives, which is obviously the most important thing, but the process that some of these guys have walked through, as you described. Why this documentary? Why was this so important? You're an executive producer on it. Why was this so important to put together these stories in this form?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we could do 5 documentaries. We could do 10. I mean, there's so many.
And you may do
the
more,
stories
right?
have changed.
Who knows?
Yeah. Our Hope Over America YouTube channel. Hopefully we'll be able to capture all the stories. But I just wanted people to know what God was doing, right? It's not about the ministry. And again, I think in Christian culture these days, a lot of people like to prop up what they're doing, right? I'm the minister. I'm the guy, you know, come see me. I'm going to give you this, this, and that. It's really not about that, right? It's really about, here's what God is doing in their lives. And I wanted people to understand, well, because here's part of it too. I think the people who don't understand, or even lawmakers who don't understand how to help people get off drugs, are pushing stuff forward like, oh, let's just give people clean needles. As long as people have clean needles, like, that's actually happening these days. They're saying, stay on drugs, but use clean needles, right? Because people are hopeless, right? People do not have hope, because when they respond like, oh yeah, someone else overdosed and it's my cousin's friend, or it's this person, and people feel like they can't do anything, right? People really feel like, well, it's just hopeless. They're just addicted. It's a disease. It's hopefully they get the help that they need. And a lot of people respond with a hopeless attitude, essentially. And I wanted to spread the word that, first off, hope is here. That's the name, right? There is hope. And we found something that works. And it really is following Jesus, right? I mean, it really is a simple Christian tenet. I think when you go through the Bible, God's very process oriented, right? I go back to like my baseball career, right? When I was pitching, by the end of my career, I said, as long as I can drive my hips forward, if I just control my hips, my hand is going to get to where it needs to go, right? My arm, everything else is going to fall. But all I need to do is drive my hips. I had this one cue in my head, drive your hips, drive your hips, drive your hips. In Christianity, it's just put God first, right? And everything that you do, and literally everything else falls into place. And I think that's, God is a process. He's process oriented. And I think you see that throughout the Bible. And I think you see that with all of these stories. The guys just, you know, I think their desires changed, right? Everything changed because they just took one big step toward Jesus. And I wanted people to hear that, you know, there is hope for these people. There's my friend Frank, who is in the documentary, who's ready to jump off a bridge a week before he joined the program. And Cody, who I mentioned earlier, my friend Randy, who came in as an atheist. And you know, 2 years later is adopting children because he's equipped to adopt children, and he has his family, you know, reunited. I wanted people to hear these stories, whether you, no matter where you are in a Christian walk, whether you're not a believer, but to understand that there's hope for the drug epidemic, there's hope for people in your life, whether they're addicted or not, and that, you know, Jesus is the way, right? And there are these unbelievable, tangible stories of life change that are just, they're crazy. And I didn't even get to tell half of them.
You know? I can imagine. You had to cut so much. Yeah, there's so many. That's wonderful. And what's really neat too, is that you're using your platform. Obviously we love football, and you know, I love sports, and we're able to kind of do some really neat things with the jobs that we have, but to really do something purposeful like this, this might be the most important work you ever do. Right. And not, no offense to the Pro Football Focus world, and obviously that's great work helping so many teams and so many fans read your stuff, but this stuff is life-changing. This stuff is eternally impacting, you know, people's lives in such an amazing way. So kudos to you, my friend, and to all the people. I know there was a lot of people involved with the documentary, but also involved with Hope Over America. Again, the website is hopeoveramerica.com. People can go watch the documentary at the Hope Over America channel on YouTube. Again, we'll link to all this in the show notes so people can just click real easy and get over there. Steve, thanks for being here, buddy. Congratulations on the documentary. Congrats on another NFL season to embark on. This is going to be a lot of fun football-wise, but this work you're doing is really fantastic. So I appreciate you being on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Jason. And you're right. I mean, I love football. I love what I do at PFF, but it is life-changing work. And I think that Hope Over America YouTube channel, that there's even more that we can, more stories that we can continue to tell there, I think, which will be great.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the stories that you guys continue to tell. Hopefully people will subscribe there. Thanks again, buddy.
Thank you.
And many thanks to Steve Palazzolo for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. His work with PFF can be found at pff.com, Pro Football Focus. That's a great place to go each day, each week during the NFL season. They have content that's wonderful, and it's just different than the ESPNs and the Fox Sportses of the world. They cover every team and every player, and that's what's neat about Pro Football Focus. But that work he's doing with Hope Over America, guys, I hope you hear his heart in wanting to serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus, as I mentioned, and really doing wonderful work, watching these people's lives be transformed by the gospel. And they do not have to live in a life of addiction, of heroin and drugs anymore, because the freedom that is found in a relationship with Jesus has saved these guys and transformed them into a more purposeful life. You can watch this documentary. It's called Hope Is Here, on the YouTube channel that he mentioned, Hope Over America on YouTube. I will link to that in the show notes so you guys can just click and watch it. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. Really powerful stories, really well done, and it's free. They're making this available to watch for free, and I hope when you watch it that you take it and you share it with someone who's been, I don't know, hurt by addiction, maybe even has been caught up in addiction. I come from a family with a father who was addicted to alcohol, so I know the damage that addiction can do to that person and also to family members, but this video will provide you with that word again, hope. I promise you it will. It's called Hope Is Here, and the website again, hopeoveramerica.com, and the Hope Over America YouTube channel is the place to watch this documentary. Great work there by Steve. Really appreciate him. And he's an executive producer on that documentary, but I can sense his heart, even though he loves football, is to really serve and see people and their lives transformed by Christ. So wonderful work there by Steve. And that is the definition of what this show is about, right? The intersection of sports and faith. Now, Steve is a former athlete who works and covers football on a daily basis. But man, his faith is driving him to get involved and to make a difference in something bigger than himself. That's what we want to do here at Sports Spectrum. Continue telling these type of stories each and every day. And if you are interested in supporting what we're doing, we're not asking you for money. All we're asking you to do is maybe click that subscribe or that follow button on this podcast app so that you don't miss any episodes of Sports Spectrum. And then tell someone about what we're doing here at Sports Spectrum. The intersection of sports and faith. Let them know about this podcast. Let them know about our website, sportspectrum.com. Share with them about our magazine, our social media channels, where we're sharing wonderful content there every single day. That's a great way to support what we're doing here at Sports Spectrum. And our goal is to see Jesus glorified through the world of sport and point people back to Christ. Thank you for tuning in. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you next time for another episode of Sports Spectrum.